Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. Jim Browdy and Marjorie. And Marjorie gets to work early this morning. First words out of her mouth. What'd you say?
So I can't wait to do the music thing.
Exactly, the music thing. It is time for the music thing, our concert roundtable. We do it about every 6 weeks. Here with us in the studio three are Rob Hochschild. He's with Berklee College of Music. Hello again, Rob.
Hello.
Brian McCreath is from down the hall. He's a host with 99.5 WCRB and a producer for the Boston Symphony Orchestra radio broadcast. Hello there, Brian.
Hello, Jim. How you doing?
And our buddy and close friend, Edgar B. Herrick III. He, of course, is with WGBH's Curiosity Desk. Hello, Edgar.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Marjorie. Hello, gang.
Hello.
Okay, let's. Where do we usually start, by the way? We try to rotate this thing. Where do we... Edgar, let's put you on the spot to get this going.
Yeah. All right.
Take it away,
I like
Edgar.
It. All right, so I'm going to let everybody here into a little window into my process.
We want that.
You know, I'm not as much of a specialist as the other two guys here. So I try to balance. I think about myself as more of the generalist, and I have to kind of balance the different genres and make sure there's a little something for everybody.
He's
but
just
one of my
expectations,
picks...
expectations, I think.
One of my picks every time... is picked for the sole purpose of putting that grin on Jim Browdy's face
yes.
to sort of take him back to whether it was his
Who's
days
this?
Traversing the streets of Philadelphia
yes,
or
I
your
did.
Days selling sundries on Cape Cod, whatever it is.
Chubby I like Checker's to... coming to town? Is that what's happening?
No, this may be even better than Chubby Checker. There's a couple of guys from Philadelphia who were in a group together, Hall & Oates.
My favorite.
I've heard of them.
You don't even know this, but they are
really?
My absolute
I kind of suspected.
I love them.
I suspected. I wanted to put that grin on your face. So Hall & Oates are coming to the Bank of America Pavilion soon, June 12th, a couple days
oh
from
Oh, my goodness.
Tonight.
Oh.
Hall & Oates. And, you know, I just think whether you are doing this ironically or whether you're doing it seriously, this is going to be a great show. It's going to be outside. It's going to be a nice night. Hall & Oates, a little bit of blue-eyed soul from Philadelphia. Let's hear a little bit of Hall & Oates' Rich Girl. There's the
I know
look.
It's
there's
pathetic,
the
but I am
there's
the
look. That's the look that I was going for on Jim's face. I mean, how great is this going to be? Can't you just picture yourself down there by the water in the sun?
They still
just
sound good.
To this? They do. Has anybody seen this
no.
show live from Daryl's house?
No, I've seen that YouTube. I've seen
awesome.
Some YouTube stuff, yeah.
This has turned into what started what seemingly as a joke online, you know, has turned into something really, really
It's amazing. Hanging out in his barn, he brings in Sharon Jones or whoever, all these
Grace
amazing
Potter.
Musicians and do amazing live stuff.
And for two 90-year-old guys, it's amazing they can still sing.
I think they're only in their 80s.
They
really?
Look great
the big question,
and they
well,
sound
Will Oates
fabulous.
Still have the mustache? I think that's the question every time. So.
Okay.
I think it's gone.
Start.
I think it's gone, yeah.
Now, Rob.
That's going to be fun.
The bar, yeah. as they say, has really been set high to start. So
I picked Jim's favorite act of all time.
It is one of my favorites.
Well, I'm from Philly. I wish I could deliver something from the hometown, too. But we've got something more local here. It's a big show for Berklee, actually. That's also tomorrow, like the Hall & Oates show. It's at Symphony Hall. It's this thing called Berklee Night at the Pops. And it's culmination of this recent trend where a lot of students... who've been coming to Berklee and they're really steeped in classical and serious or symphonic music. They're mixing all that up with rock, pop, and jazz, and Keith Lockhart has really paid a lot of attention to this. There's a lot of faculty members who write or perform in the orchestra. So what's happening tomorrow night is Melissa Etheridge, who also went
Ooh.
To Berklee.
Oh.
Nice.
She's
mm-hmm.
going to headline this show at Symphony Hall. It's going to be the first time she's ever played with an orchestra, apparently.
And he mentioned this to us when he was here a couple of weeks ago. He was really excited about this.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. been amazing yeah. how into this yeah. thing at Berklee he's gotten. He's actually handpicked 4 students who are going to open and do the first half of this show at Berklee. So you're going to hear students or recent grads, songwriters, perform their tunes arranged for the Pops. It's going to be really cool. One of these is a Minneapolis singer-songwriter named Sarah Walk. So now I know I'm the jazz guy, so I'm going to stretch out a little bit here today. So
Do
we're going to get the
Do it.
Sophisticated pop of one young Sarah Walk. Her music is really great. She beautiful songs of heartache. She's got this kind of fragile but unadorned voice. So listen to let's listen to an arrangement of her tune Still Frames.
Something about the fall always makes me brokenhearted. Back to where we started, but now those days are gone. Trees crying red and the memories, they're not fading. Can't go back and change them. Now you're so far gone.
That's terrific.
That's pretty stuff.
That's terrific. How do you spell her last name?
Walk, just like the thing you do when you're going down the street.
Thank you. I'm keeping careful notes in my date book this time, because what I do is I lose my notes and I forget to look online, so I want to have everything organized.
And it will all be online,
it
by
will
the way,
all
afterwards,
be online.
So don't
That's
get
right.
nervous if
I
you're driving.
I should point that out, but I just want to have it in my date book. Okay. Now I just want to Brian McCree, because
very cool sounding stuff.
You know, it is summertime. When you think of summertime, yeah. The BSOU course, think of Tanglewood.
Well, you do.
And you got to give people advice on if you know, inside, outside, what, you know, suppose it rains.
Let's start somewhere else, though.
Okay.
Rather than the West.
All right. I'm sorry. I know it is, you arrange these things. So,
no,
but
no,
we'll
no.
Get
we'll
to
get
it.
To it. But okay. We're going to start on the east end of the state. And we're going to head up to Cape Ann, Rockport.
Ooh, ooh,
okay.
Nice.
Now, if you've seen this new concert hall in Rockport, it's only a few years old, the Shaolin Liu Performance Center.
No.
It's a small, very beautiful little hall with a back window. Literally, the back of the stage looks out. It's all glass. It looks out on the ocean.
Ah.
So as you're sitting enjoying a concert, and they do classical, they do jazz, they do singer-songwriters, they do lots of things, but there's also the Rockport Chamber Music Festival. That's where this hall really got its start. And so as you're sitting in this hall, you're looking out on the ocean. On June 29th at 5 p.m., so this is that time of day when the light changes through the course of a concert, and it's one of the most beautiful experiences you can have. It doesn't even matter kind of like what the music is going to be, but I'm going to tell you about it anyway. But it's just being in this place, one of the most beautiful places that you can imagine for a concert. Now, on June 29th, it happens to be that the pianist Jeremy Denk, recently minted MacArthur genius, will be performing the Goldberg Variations by Bach. I had to say Bach for Edgar in this segment.
You got to say Bach. Bach.
But he's also going to be performing a piece by Charles Ives, and this brings a new definition to the term local, because Charles Ives is a New England composer from the 19th century who made a fortune in the insurance industry. He was
really?
An insurance man.
Oh, my God.
He wrote music on the side in the evenings and the weekends, and he was a groundbreaking, visionary composer, not credited in his time at all. And only in the last, literally in the last maybe 20 years, has his music really been embraced seriously as the visionary music that it is by the music world at large. What Jeremy's going to be playing on the 29th is called the Concord Sonata. Charles Ives was very, very attracted to Emerson and the transcendentalists of our own area. So he wrote this thing called the Concord Sonata with a movement dedicated to Emerson, Hawthorne, the Alcotts, and Thoreau. And I want to play for you now. This is Jeremy actually in our studio from a few years ago playing the Alcotts. Listen, let's just listen to a little bit of this. It sounds very conventional. There's nothing very tricky about this. This is basic part writing. This could be a church hymn, right?
Is something going to happen?
It's Charles Ives,
yeah.
So anything can happen.
Huh.
He mashes together things before mashup was a term, right? He throws in different things, but he twists the... What? Ooh. What's that? A church hymn from New England becomes Debussy in Paris.
Yeah.
With this dreamy sort of infusion. Now, we're playing this movement, the Alcotts. It's the tenderest moment in this entire sonata. A lot of the rest of it, which is a very substantial piece of music, is just rambunctious, slap up the side of the head, and like I said, kind of mashing together different things in an amazing way. This is, to play the Goldberg Variations by Bach, and this piece on the same program is a very, very rare kind of thing. Jeremy Denk, one of the few pianists that can pull this off, and I think it's going to be a tremendous experience at Rockport.
How does it happen that Charles Ives in the last 20 years gets just kind of rediscovered?
You know, it's a funny thing. It's just, you know, people have to let go of their baggage with classical music. There's probably more baggage with classical music than almost any other kind of, we all yeah. have baggage, but you got to just let go of the idea that you've got to be trained by somebody and that you have to follow certain rules and that there are ways that you must specify how your music is played. Charles Ives actually wrote he published a book at the same time he published this sonata because there was so much that he wanted people to know about it. But one of the things he wanted people to know is that the markings in the score are suggestions. And so there's an improvisatory quality to this music in any performance. There's not a single approved way that Ives thought this music should be played. He was always open, almost like a very early version of John Cage, the willingness to just allow other things to filter in, to allow impulse and to allow capriciousness, just to inform his music. And so if Ives heard somebody make something up in his music, in this music especially, he would think, right, you got it. That's what I want. So this thing with Jeremy Denk will be really, really special because of the music. But if you're sitting in Rockport looking out at Sandy Bay at 5 o'clock in
the
evening,
time and, the place,
and you hear
great.
Bach and then you hear Ives, it's a tremendous experience.
So I'd prefer to go back to Philadelphia myself. Yeah. So are you going to take us there, Edgar, or
I can't take you to Philadelphia right now. And I always I got to sit somewhere else because I follow Brian McCreathy, who's got, you know, again, it's either, you know, some sort of Peloponnesian war that's captured in song, or like, you know, the beauty of a sunset while an insurance salesman's music is, you know, cascading through the hallway. I'm going to just again say, hey, this person's a pretty good pop artist here. Here we go. So, but no, this is, I'm going to throw a light on a sort of singer-songwriter type called Nikki Lane. She's from Nashville, originally from South Carolina, spent a little bit of time in New York. And then, like a lot of artists in kind of the outsider country music movement, which is very strong, she's in recent years moved to Nashville, where there's a lot of young singer-songwriters, again, really coalescing in a really, really good scene down there in Nashville. And she ends up – she had what's called a pop-up vintage store. You know, she'd kind of go to like markets and stuff and just sort of sell vintage clothes. And she has a chance encounter with Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys, which is a band that has gotten a lot of attention, and they've got a new record out. They're very big among NPR listeners. NPR Music is one of these things that have really jumped on the Black Keys. You hear them in commercials all the time. So he decided to produce her new album. Once they got to talking about music and he listened to a little bit of her music, he said, I want to produce you. So she was a little bit uneasy about it, but they teamed up. He produced her new record, and it is absolutely stellar. She has got a really unique voice. She's a great songwriter. She's got a little bit of an edge to her. She's young. She comes out of a country tradition, but with a little bit of more of like that kind of outlaw country style, like you might think of Merle Haggard or, you know, early Willie Nelson. She's got a little bit of that quality, but she's a woman, which makes it twice as cool. So let's hear a little bit from her new record. The record's called All or Nothing, and this track is called Good Man.
Not on.
Yep.
Thing.
Well, they've got that Be My Baby beat behind it. A little bit of Dusty Springfield in there, maybe.
That's right. I love Dusty Springfield, too.
She's good. That's
great singer.
Good.
This whole record, start to finish, is really, really good. And she's playing at Great Scott, which is a really small venue.
When's this?
In Austin. This is June 25th, so you got a couple weeks to get your tickets for this. This is going to be a great show. I think she's going to be incredible in this space. So.
Well, as you say, she's not an insurance salesman, but she is really, she can
but she does
really
sell clothes.
Sing regardless in her case.
Oh, my God. How do you feel right now if you're listening and you're an insurance salesman and all you do is sell insurance? Meanwhile, you hear this other guy changing the future of music.
You're not writing visionary books. Classical music.
Yeah, visionary
classical.
What are you doing?
Exactly. Right. Okay, Rob Hochschild, round two for you.
All right. We've got a Boston-based pianist who's doing a big show in a few weeks on June 26th. Danilo Perez, who's a Panamanian-born composer and pianist, He's here in town. He's at Berkeley. He runs a Global Jazz Institute. When he first came over to the States, he played with Dizzy Gillespie. And so as like a 20-ish year old guy, he was playing these very big gigs and was just a great player. And he, over time, has become a kind of a legend in the jazz world as well. He's Wayne Shorter's piano player, which is kind of like being, you know, the starting pitcher.
So
on
you've
the major...
played with Dizzy and Wayne Shorter. And,
yeah.
Wow.
Not bad.
That's a resume.
And he's won Grammys, and he's done all kinds of amazing stuff. So this guy's a great composer, and as an improviser on the piano, we're going to hear the beginning of this tune, so you'll just get a sense of how he sort of touches the piano, which is ranges from really powerful high energy to more of a delicate touch. He also does this thing where he plucks the strings inside of the piano and plays it at the same time. It's like he's got a harp and a piano going at the same time.
Nice.
So, but anyway, great composer, influences from hard bop and European classical music, folk music. He's got a new disc out called Panama 500, which actually celebrates the 500th anniversary of Balboa getting to Panama. But that's a very programmatic disc, to use a Brian McCreath word.
Yeah.
So
I gotta up my game here, guys. Like, sorry,
programmatic.
Programmatic.
Write that down.
Insurance.
So I found it hard to pluck a tune off of that disc. So we're going to go back to a slightly older thing from Danilo Perez. This is a track called Galactic Panama. So it's got this nice Latin groove and just this odd piano chord thing happening, but you can't, like, not react to that.
Yeah, when that rhythm drops in there, like, you're not sure where you're at when the piano starts, right? And then once that rhythm drops in, you're like, okay, now I'm home. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That is awesome.
That's actually pretty great. It is.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to not move your feet and your head a little bit when you hear stuff like this. He's going to be at the Remus Auditorium at the MFA on the 26th. And it's really worth checking out, Danilo Perez.
Thanks, Rob. Now, speaking of words from Brian McCreath, I wrote this down. Did you use the word improvisatory before? You did. I wasn't going to bring it up. And since is that even a word?
You want to just deconstruct that?
Yes.
Is that it is a word? I know what it means.
I'm going to back him up. Thanks, that is a
now
word,
we're going
Brian.
To engage in deconstructionism.
Okay, Brian McCreath, what's okay. Next on your list?
Something very not
here?
Improvisatory. Let's actually just go to the music and play a little late. Name that tune. Anybody recognize this? You'd have to stay to the very ending credits of a film in order to hear this.
I thought it sounded like it was from a film, but I'm thinking John Williams, but I don't think that's
John Williams.
It is John Williams.
This is from Saving Private Ryan.
Oh. It is?
Huh. Yeah. This is Hymn to the Fallen, which comes at the very, very end of the movie. And this is the Boston Symphony with the Tanglewood Festival Chorus. John Williams is in Boston right now, and tonight he'll be conducting the last performance of Film Night, which is one of the most amazing events any year in Symphony Hall. It happens every year. They do four performances. Tonight is the last one, but it'll still be at Tanglewood, Marjorie,
right.
In August. There'll be a Film Night at Tanglewood, and I tell you, I've been to now a few of these Film Nights, and the energy is unbelievable in the hall. I mean, John Williams walks on stage at the beginning of a concert, and the crowd erupts. He is so beloved in here and everywhere, really. And so I brought up Saving Private Ryan because that is part of tonight's Film Night concert as a tribute to the anniversary of D-Day. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of other great stuff, too. There'll be some music from Raiders of the Lost Ark and some music from, well, yes, Star Wars. And when John Williams and the Boston Pops get together on the stage at Symphony Hall, it is just a tremendous experience.
How old is he?
He is 81 or 82.
That's pretty great.
And Tanglewood is a part of his story, too, right? The place. Like, he's beloved there for a reason.
Well, he's one of those figures that sort of has embedded himself at Tanglewood.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Bernstein, Copland, and Williams as sort of the three composers who have really sort of embraced Tanglewood as a place and had it inform their own music. He wrote a piece, actually. What is the name of it? It's about trees, and it's very much inspired by the landscape of Tanglewood itself. He spends a lot of his time there when he's not at work somewhere else, just kind of wandering the grounds and being inspired. So when this comes up at Tanglewood in August, it is one of those nights when you just prepare to be there for hours because the traffic jam getting out of Tanglewood takes hours to get through. But it feels so worth it. It feels so great that you've been in the presence of some of this amazing music that people just seem to connect to in a core way, you know? It's not something that you have to work hard to understand, and yet it's something that affects you very, very deeply. Not even if you haven't seen the film. I mean, there's music that he brings to these film night concerts. I've never seen the films, but the music is just so great that and he also honors other composers along the way. There's a little bit of Gershwin, and there's some film sequences that he runs during this concert that are just a joy to watch.
That's so. Brian
okay.
McCreath. Now this round we have to pick it up, gentlemen. So a quick
rapid
hit
fire.
Of what's the best thing you've got left on your list, Edgar, Rob, and Brian?
All right, I'm going to Thursday, July 17th, so you got some time for this. But this is something we don't talk a lot, it's a style of music we don't talk a lot about here, which is hip-hop. And this is a group called De La Soul, who back in the late 80s, early 90s, were very, very influential in the world of hip-hop. Them and bands like A Tribe Called Quest and Diggable Planets, on the heels of bands like Public Enemy, which had a lot of aggression and a lot of politics, they sort of pushed hip-hop into a groovier, jazzier direction. And considering this is 25 years since the release of their record, this is going to be a great show, I think, at the Paradise. And I want to listen to a number from De La Soul called The Magic Number. This is one of my favorite all-time hip-hop tracks ever.
a magic number. It's the magic number. Somewhere in this hip-hop soul community was born three, Mace, Dub, and me, and that's a magic number.
What does it all mean?
Difficult preaching is posthumous pleasure. Pleasure in preaching starts in the heart.
This is just so bouncy, so fun.
You know what I just
and
realized?
A lot of the music is like this.
I had totally forgotten until you brought up De La Soul, the leader of the group.
Yeah.
Sold me a whole life policy just a couple of years ago. I had totally forgotten that until you brought
up. He's a musical visionary, too.
He really,
oh, my God.
That's pretty great. Okay, Rob Hochschild, moving along. What's best on the... And by the way, their whole list, even that which we don't get to, will be online shortly after the show. What do you got, Rob?
All right. We've got a big name in the world of vocal jazz. Cassandra Wilson is touring right now, marking the 20th anniversary of a record she put out in 93 called Blue Light Till Dawn. And this was really a groundbreaking record for jazz vocalists. Everyone was thinking of her as the next Betty Carter. And she kind of turned that upside down with a record that has Robert Johnson and Van Morrison and Joni Mitchell and all kinds of material that made people wonder who she was and spawned a generation of artists like Nora Jones and Jane Monheit and artists who really kind of try to look at the Great American Songbook and say like, yeah, but no thanks. I'm going to do something different.
Yeah.
And so it's a real event to see her at Scholars next week, June 20th and 21st. Let's listen to Blue Light Till Dawn.
Sounds like getting a little dirty in there.
Yeah, exactly. That slide guitar all over.
The music slows and everybody starts the game.
Nice slow vibe.
Honey, what's your name?
Yeah, she just got that great smoky voice. And I don't think you get to see her that often in town and in a room like Scullers. I'm not sure the last time she came, but it's such a great place to see a show, so
it's
worth checking out.
Okay, Brian,
okay,
McCree,
you're
going to
take us home, Brian.
Take us home. Yes,
and now for
right.
something completely different, Boston soon will be invaded by people who do this.
No!
The convention of the American Guild of Organists is coming to Boston. Yes!
Oh my God, a wild time!
Yes! I wish that the listeners could see your face right now. It's like somebody gave an 8-year-old a lollipop.
When are they coming and
are
where will they be?
Are pipe organs great or what?
Yeah.
Well, Boston has amazing pipe organs all over town, and the American Guild of Organists will be in town June 23rd to the 27th. Some public events, what I want to draw attention to is actually on June 21st, it's a family day at Old South Church in Copley Square, where not only this kind of thing's going to happen, but live accompaniment to Laurel or Hardy films, sing-along to Wizard of Oz, what else? A live accompaniment to Fantasia, pipe organ, right? A little hands-on for the little ones to get onto the organ and press those keys and have some fun and make some noise. So Family Day at the American Guild of Organists on June 21st, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And just beware, there will be organists walking all over town during that 1 week. It's going to be something to behold.
Okay. Do we have time to squeeze in anything else, or are we done?
We don't. We don't. Have a time to thank them.
We do have time to thank them.
You don't have
okay.
to.
Yeah, no, we will.
Really?
We
you know
will.
Who they are, right?
I do know who they are.
Okay,
of course,
fine.
Brian McCree, you just heard him speaking. He's the host of 99.5 WCRB. Inside or outside at Tanglewood, really quickly, please. Inside, outside.
Oh, you got to be there for the Andras Nelson 2 weekends. Yeah. Andras Nelson's the next music director of the Boston Symphony. The energy there will be just through the roof.
Okay.
Good thing there's no roof.
Brian is also the producer of the Boston Symphony Orchestra. Rob Hochschild is with the Berklee College of Music, and Edgar B. Horry III, of course, runs the WGBH Curiosity Desk. He sits next to us up the stairs. Okay.
Again. Oh, man. We should go.
Let's go.
We should go. We'll talk after the show.
Weren't you going to the Bee Gees or something?
Yeah, it's a long, painful story.
A long, painful
Let's just
story.
Move on.
The Bee Gees.
Philly.
Yeah, no, they're not.
Most of them are dead, by the way. So we were going to
it
a BG.
It was the BG.
Right.
Oh, we're going to go see the BG.
Okay, fine.
Singular.
What's happening tomorrow, Margaret?
What is happening tomorrow? Gee, I don't know what's happening tomorrow. Oh, I do know. Governor Deval Patrick is going to be here tomorrow. So please tune in for that. Thank you for listening to another edition of Boston Public Radio. Please tune in tomorrow to hear Governor Deval Patrick. And listen to us again. I am Marjorie Egan. He's Jim Browdy. Our production team is Chelsea Murs, Will Roselip, Amanda McGowan. Dylan Karambalis is doing some interning for us, and Alan Mattis is the engineer today. Thanks.